you want to turn your Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter 103. Amen. If you have your Dead Sea Scrolls with you, you might want to turn there. No. I think Psalms 103. I want to talk to you this morning about benefits of serving God. Without God, there's not any benefits, but with God, there's all kinds. Praise the Lord. And so let's notice Psalms chapter 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. Oh God, we're so blessed to have your presence. Thank you for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, would just open our hearts and our minds and our lives to the truth of Scripture, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Benefits of serving God. Amen. Scripture starts out, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We know that the psalmist here was feeling deep in his heart that everything belonged to God. All that is within me. Amen. That's the way we ought to praise God and worship him. Because worship comes from within. And worship doesn't come by feeling or by ritual or unwanted obligation, but by from a heart truly surrendered to God. That's why we praise the Lord. Amen. And this is a psalm of praise. Praise God. And bless the Lord, O my soul. Charles Spurgeon puts it this way. He says, only a holy man can delight in holy things. Holiness is a terror of unholy men. They love sin and count it liberty, but holiness to them, to a holy man, is slavery. If we be saints, we shall bless God for his holiness, end quote. And so we bless God for his holiness and for who he is. Praise God. The Bible says here, do not forget all of his benefits. A selfish question is asked many times. You know, this happened in a church service. You know, one young person came up to the leaders and said, you know, what do we get out of this? And so that's a selfish question when it comes to God. What do we get out of this? But you know, if you go for a job interview, you want to know what the benefits are. You want to know that they have health insurance, life insurance, and hopefully a few things on the side. And so we want benefits. We like that in our society. I heard of a pastor who went and tried out for a church, and he got through trying out for the church, and they showed him the parsonage, and it was a beautiful three-bedroom brick home, and had beautiful parsonage, living quarters, very good. And he got back to some people and said, how'd it go? You tried out today at the church, how'd it go? He said, well, it went all right. He said, the people at the church weren't very good. He said, they weren't friendly. They didn't stand. They didn't praise the Lord. They didn't raise their hands. They didn't clap. They didn't do nothing. But he said, they sure did have a good parsonage. He said, I'm thinking about going back and trying out for the parsonage. Okay. So he wanted benefits. So what do we get out of this? My friend, there's many things you get out of serving the Lord and giving God your life. You get eternal life instead of eternal separation from God. What do you get out of this? You get heaven instead of hell. You get hope instead of no hope. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But my friend, our hope is beyond that world, this world. We're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our hope is fixed upon Christ. What I get out of this, I get love instead of hate. We get eternal acceptance instead of eternal rejection. There's a verse in Jeremiah 8:20 says, the summer is past, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. That would be an awful thing. Jeremiah 8:20. But my friend, it's not past. Amen. we are saved. We are ready to meet God. Praise the Lord. And let's look at the benefits here for just a moment. First of all, we see one of the benefits is who forgives all of our iniquities. And you say, well, Pastor, I've heard that Jesus forgives all this time. Said, that's nothing new to me. My friend, do we think about it very carefully? God forgives all of our iniquities. The truth is, God hates sin, hates what it does to people, hates what sin does to families, to relationships. God hates what it does to a nation, what it's trying to do to our nation right now, in any nation. And so the Bible says that we can have the benefit of serving the Lord and have forgiveness of sins. I believe God can heal a land. I believe He can heal a people. I believe He can heal a person. I believe that He can deliver a person from sinful things. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says in Psalms 19:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And I'm sad to say that many of our people in our country, this world, have forgotten about God. They've forgotten that we became what we are because of God, and because it became a nation under one God, one nation under God, because Christian people reared this nation. But I want to tell you something today. We don't have to settle for what's coming down the pipes right now. And there's a lot of things that I don't approve of that's going on in society today. But I can tell you, Jesus Christ is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still on the throne of glory. He's still seated at the right hand of the Father. He loves you. He's for you, not against you. Praise the Lord. What do I get out of this? He forgives all your iniquities. When we realize what sin can do to a person, to a family, to a home, to a church, to a community, to children, then God's forgiveness becomes a huge benefit. Look at the lawlessness in our streets today. I know you don't want to think about it. I don't want either. I wish it didn't exist, but it does. All and how many and what sins has God forgiven you of? I'm not asking for a testimony service. Be over pretty quick, I think. But anyway. But God realizes what the need in mankind is, and man's greatest need is to do something with his sin problem. That's the great reason that Jesus came, to do something with our sin problem, to make an atoning sacrifice for our sins. But in Mark chapter 2, there's a story there where Jesus heals a man that's a paralytic. And his friends bring him to Jesus, and they come to the house, and the house was full. There's no way to get in. And so they went on the top of the house and lifted a part of the roof off. And I know you're saying in your mind, not in our church. But they lifted the roof off and let him down. When Jesus saw their faith, Jesus didn't immediately heal the paralytic. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." That was his greatest need. He needed healing. He needed deliverance from sin worse than he needed divine healing. And we know that some of the Pharisees said nobody can forgive sins but God. But they didn't realize that Jesus, God in the flesh, was there with them. Amen. And Jesus says, those that are whole have no need of physician, but those who are sick. Amen. And he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to the sick of palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he did. God healed him. And so, he dealt with the sin problem first. And so, one of the benefits, who forgives all our iniquities. This is a psalm of David. And so, I'm going to pick on him for a minute. He's been picked on before, so he's used to it. But the long-reaching effects of sin are amazing, because when you make the decision to turn away from God or do something that God has forbidden, it brings with it consequences, sometimes affecting people you didn't think it would affect, but it might affect a whole lot of people. We know that David committed a sin with Bathsheba. His men were out at war. And that David walks on the roof of his house and he saw a beautiful woman bathing herself. And he should have been out with his army in the field fighting against the enemies, but he stayed home. And so he sent and inquired about who this person was, and it was the wife of one of his mighty men, fighting men. Her name was Bathsheba. Her husband was Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men. So David failed. And we know that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And God sent Nathan the prophet to him. And Nathan told him a story of an unfortunate situation, and that when he got through, David said, the man that's done this despicable thing, another story, said he should die. And Nathan the prophet looks at David and said, you are the man. You're the one that did this. You've taken another man's wife. And he said, God has forgiven you because you've repented. But he said, the sword shall never depart from your house. Because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Because you see, he took that and the sword never did depart from David's house. David had problems from then on. He repented and God forgave him and God took away his sin and God restored him. But yet his own son rose up to take the kingdom from him. His own son tried to kill him. He rebelled, led a whole army against him and tried to take over everything that he had. Because you see, the sword never departed from his head. He had, you read the history of David, he had problems from then on. So it's never worth it. Because sin always takes you further than you want to go, costs you more than you want to pay, stays longer than you want it to stay. And so we know the sword never departed from his house. God forgave him, but he paid an awful price. I'm sure David was asking himself the question, what I get out of this? Was that one night stand with Bathsheba, was it really worth it? I believe he would tell you, not at all. Was that night of passion really worth it? He needed what only God could forgive, forgiveness and deliverance from a lustful heart. And God granted him that. Because you see, God is merciful. And you say, well, I don't think that was David, and that's not me. Maybe it's not you. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all need God's forgiveness. Regardless of what deliverance or what degree of sin that we've committed, God has forgiven our iniquities. You're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven instead of hell because God is good and God is faithful and God forgives all of our iniquities. Man. And so let God's word help us feel better here. Forgiveness comes from a merciful God. Zechariah 7:19. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. That's good news. Isaiah 44:22 says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. That's God speaking to them and speaking to us today. Amen. Whatever sins you've committed in your past life, they've been blotted out like a thick cloud. Does God remember our sins? He can if He wants to. He can remember anything and everything. But He chooses not to remember them against us anymore once He's forgiven us. We're not like that. If somebody does us wrong, we say, well, yeah, it's okay, and we'll go on from here, but next time you mess up like this, I'm going to call this back up. I'm going to remind you what you did 5 years ago. Aren't you glad God didn't do that to us? He already knows. But in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood according to the riches of His grace. And I thank God for grace. Amen. Without grace, you and I wouldn't be headed for heaven today, but God's grace is sufficient. Strength is made perfect in our weakness. So we know that one of the benefits is He forgives all of our iniquities. Let's ask ourselves this, have we forgiven others? Because what God extends us or gives to us, He expects us to extend to others. He expects us to be forgiving. That doesn't mean that you just become the doormat that everybody walks over. But when God, somebody says to you, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, what I said to you was wrong, you forgive them. You don't try to dream up something that is just as good a saying as they had against you. Jesus said, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Well, that puts me on the spot. Yes, it does. It puts this saying that unforgiveness is not acceptable to God because God has forgiven all your iniquities. And that's not the only benefit. We know that God not only forgives our iniquities, but in verse 3 there of our text, He heals all of our diseases. Sickness and disease is a result of original sin, not necessarily a person's personal sin, but some disease and sickness does come from sin. And it's because of original sin in the Garden of Eden that sin, that sickness and disease came upon this world eventually, and people eventually die of something. Man, die of old age, or your thumper quits thumping. Or you quit breathing. Things happen, but sin opens a door to all types of sinful behavior. Drunkenness causes cirrhosis of the liver, which people die. STDs from immorality. What is pride? What is lust? It's like leprosy. It spreads. It's never satisfied. Sin is never satisfied. It wants to grow until it completely annihilates you and kills you. That's what the devil wants to do. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I want to tell you, friend, the devil hates you. In case you didn't know that, I thought I'd remind you this morning. But God isn't in love with the devil either. And he's going to see his corrupt and eternal end one day when Jesus comes back. But there's many emotional and mental sicknesses that happen because of sin in our world. And God wants to heal people of diseases, of emotional and spiritual diseases as well. You see, discouragement, fear, depression is never originated with God. God created Adam and Eve, fellowship with him in the cool of day. And God didn't say, you know, I think I'll just put a little discouragement on these, see how they handle it. No. I think I'll just make them depressed for a while by what's going on, even though they didn't have a lot going on with just two of them being there. Because they didn't have kids yet. Sorry about that. But anyway. Oh my, I got to stop. All right. But fear, discouragement, depression, all these things do not come from God. It doesn't mean you're sinful because you have these things or you wrestle with these kind of things. I want to tell you what, imaginations can run wild. Many people are ruled by their imaginations. What could happen? What might happen to me? What if this goes on? What's going to happen to me? How am I going to end up? My friend, you just cast all your care on God, for he cares for you. You cast all worry, care, and fear, and depression. You say, God, I can't handle this. Would you help me? Would you bring me out of it? I believe he will. I know he has for me many times. Praise God. And so, there's many things for God to heal. There's broken homes, there's broken marriages, there's broken-hearted people. And the world is full of these diseases that desperately need healing that only God can provide. I'll give you an example. Islamic homes, where people are staunch Islamic, and one of their family members converts to Christianity, they are either executed or disowned from the family. I just read a story about one of those. A woman went to some prayer meeting that wasn't Islamic, because it doesn't do any good to go to one of them. They went to a prayer meeting and they got saved, gave their heart to Jesus, but mom and dad weren't very happy about it. And they called the Islamic guy, whatever they call him, minister, came over and tried to talk her out of it, couldn't talk her out of it, and she was finally disowned by her family. By the grace of God and somebody helping her, she got come to the United States and was able to marry a Christian man and has a wonderful life and testimony of Christ, her own family. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And there's brokenhearted people in our world today. You don't have to search very far. There's people that are brokenhearted. They're broken marriage. They're broken homes. They're brokenhearted people. They have driven them to the place where many people commit suicide or say there's no other hope or no other reason for living. But I want to tell you something. There is a reason for living. Jesus gave us a reason to live. He is the reason we have life. He came to give life and give it to you more abundantly. God did not send his son so you could be in despair and depression and discouragement all the time. God sent his son to lift you above those things and give you victory, give you hope, give you love, give you life. That doesn't mean there won't be problems, but I'm telling you, fine, God by his Holy Spirit will give you power to walk through those things. Hallelujah. He's still the healer today. When God led Israel out of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage, took them 40 years to get rid of the slave mentality. But they did it. And so God led Moses out of Egypt, and he says, I will give you healing today. And God revealed himself to Moses, and he says, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. I will put none of the diseases of the Egyptians upon you, because I'm the God who heals you. Exodus 15:26 tells us that. Man. And so God promised healing for them, and God still heals today. Man. And maybe some of you need that kind of healing today, something of depression or discouragement or something that's just bothered you for a long time. Need God to deliver you. I believe God can deliver you today of that. Amen. He can set you free of it. Praise the Lord. And I've always believed in divine healing. I'm a product of divine healing, divine deliverance. Amen. But I had a preacher one time just tell me, he said, there's only two reasons people don't get healing. It's because either they got sin in their life or unbelief. And so I disagreed with him strongly. I didn't say anything at the moment, but he kept talking. And after a while, he said, you know, I've had a headache all day. Just having trouble getting over it. And I was young then. And I said, well, is that headache because of sin or unbelief? That preacher was not happy with me. Because it destroyed his theology of me. Healing many times, or sickness, is not, it can be a product of sin, because if a person goes off and does things like sexually transmitted diseases, things they bring on themselves, that's one thing. But just because you're sick doesn't mean you got sin in your life, and doesn't mean you're going to miss heaven. I tell you, heaven's full of people that were once sick but are healed now, eternally healed. And I believe in that eternal healing. Praise God. And the Bible of Revelation, the book of Revelation, it says, 21:27, there shall by no means enter into that city anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. I want to tell you something. God has healing. God has health. Amen. You'll never suffer sickness, pain, sorrow, or death in heaven. There'll be nothing to be sorry about. There'll be no sins to be repented of, because there won't be any sin there. Praise God. All that's taken care of by the blood of Christ on the cross. My friend, we got a wonderful eternity prepared for us. Glory to God. Eternal healing. Praise the Lord. So God forgives all of our iniquities, heals all of our diseases. Another benefit is He redeems our life from destruction. The destruction of sin and natural things. King David, for many years he ran from King Saul, because King Saul did not want David to be king. And God had rejected Saul and even took the Holy Spirit away from him, because he was continually disobedient to God. And of course, Saul wanted his own son to be king, but God had chosen David to be king, and Saul did everything he could to kill David. To one point, David became discouraged. He said, there's only a step between me and death. Because if one, the king and all of his army is trying to find you to kill you, that would make a person fear. But God gave David many of the Psalms, that encouraging things that we read today that encourages us during that time. And so David was hunted like an animal, yet God continually delivered David. And the enemy of your soul is an enemy of destruction, but God redeems your life from destruction. It's one of his benefits. And the enemy will try to do anything to destroy you, or to keep you from living a godly life, and for being an example and being a testimony to the world. The devil will do anything to take away your influence of Christ in your home, in your family, in society. But my friend, God wants you to worship Him, and God wants you to make a difference in somebody's life. And you say, well, I don't make a difference in anybody's life, but you don't know. My friend, your testimony as you live your life for God, amen, you don't cuss, you don't, things may make you want to. You don't tell dirty jokes. You don't get into the conversation with people that just can't talk about anything except the last affair they had. You live for God and you stand for something. And if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. But you can stand for Christ, and God will make your testimony to be seen in this world. and God redeems your life from destruction, and God loves you and God cares for you so you don't have to suffer the consequences of sin. That's how much God loves us. And God, the enemy is at and centered on your destruction. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your worship of God. He wants to make a righteous, he doesn't want you to make a righteous difference in somebody's life. However, God gives us the power to stand and to move forward in faith. In 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God, if you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, you've been born again of God's Spirit. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so God has put our faith there. We can trust God, live for Him, love Him, serve Him, regardless of what happens, what comes, what goes, whoever the president is or not the president. My faith in God is certain and sure. I'm going to live for God no matter what. My faith in God is not going to change. Going to live for Him. How many times has God spared you from foolish things in your young life? Amen. That's probably right. Think of the dumb things you did when you didn't have enough sense to do better. You did as a young person and survived, like driving at high speed when you first got your driver's license. Amen. I know you want to give me to give you a personal example, so I will. My dad bought a half-ton Chevrolet truck, 1973 model, with a 454 engine in it. You can't get it in a half-ton anymore. Shouldn't have been able to then. Of course, I passed everything on the road, and it was a hot item to have. But I didn't have a wreck, and thank God, but I know that God protected me, had to. He didn't have to, but He chose to. But dumb things we did when we were young, but God has a plan for us eternally and through this life, who redeems your life from destruction, who purchases you out of a life of sin, redeems you, and makes you His child. Regardless of what failures you had, God still loved and God still cared. And God, and you know, I've heard it said, it's amazing when you hear all the stories, it's surprised that anybody lives to be grown. Maybe so. I'm trying to make myself feel better. Anyway. But God redeems our life from destruction because the enemy of your soul wants you to die and go to hell. He wants you to be eternally separated from God. But I want to tell you, God has a different plan than that. God does not want you to be eternally separated from Him. God wants you to be with Him forever. God has made it His plan that you spend your eternity with Him. Amen. The eternal God is our refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. God is able to pick you up, to hold you, to walk you through things. He hadn't quit on you. He hadn't given up on you. He's not said, you're not worth it. I'm not going to mess with you anymore. He said, I've got plans for you for eternity. And you need to take that to heart and say, God, you cared enough for me to give me eternal life. Not temporary life, but eternal life instead of eternal destruction. God, you know, you can look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. You can turn those into God. God is the God of love, God of joy, God of peace, God of hope. All those come from God, the Holy Spirit. They're fruits of the Spirit, fruit of God. Okay? And so God has plans for you. Amen. Matter of fact, God tells the Apostle Peter, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should proclaim the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are called out people and called in people, called out of darkness and called in to the light of God and called into heavenly, eternal fellowship with God. That ought to make you feel better. Amen. So thank God who forgives all of our iniquities. Thank God who heals of all of our diseases. Thank God who redeems our life from destruction. Crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. That's part two of the sermon. Since you're ready, I'll quit on the part two right now. Or I'll refrain from the part two. But God is good. God is perfect. God is pure. God loves us. God cares.